cliffcentral.com.
Someone special. Hey, I cannot get enough of this video.
Well, I mean, it's possibly the only Christmas song that should ever be considered, ever.
You're right. I mean, it is Last Christmas. We're talking about Last Christmas, and you haven't heard from us since Last Christmas. They put us away in a box, didn't let us anywhere near microphones.
It was a box that played 80s music all year long, so we were okay.
No, we were fine.
But now we've been let out. Hi, Paolo.
Dari, what a fantastic day this is again. Once again, our yearly meetup. Okay. I feel we do this show less often than ET phones home.
All right.
I'm trying to figure out how many 80s references I can get into this intro.
Is it as
I pity the fool who doesn't get my 80s references.
Is it perhaps as often as one would fight dance?
You know, listen, I try to fight dance at least once a week. Yeah. Normally with myself, and when I'm dancing in the dark, specifically, I fight dance. No? Working for you?
I have nothing to that.
Should I leave it? So, Dari, I think, what is the show about? Let's talk about it.
Okay. It's that 80s show. Funnily enough, it's about 80s.
Who would have thunk it, hey?
Who would have thunk?
And it's like, I think previously we've done music, and listen, we're going to play a lot of music, but it's also talking about 80s, our memories, talking about movies, talking about arbitrary things. Like, so 80s was a big thing, and some friends and I were talking about it the other day, of like kids discovering magical powers that turned them into adults, like Big.
Yes.
But there were a couple others, and we couldn't remember the names.
So there was Freaky Friday.
Okay, right.
Freaky Friday, where they swapped, actually. Yeah, it wasn't so much like it was a swap thing.
The kid swapped with the parents.
Yeah.
And then Big, a kid turned into an adult.
Yeah.
There was a Michael J. Fox was in one.
Yes.
He's my default for being in everything. Michael J. Fox was in everything.
When in doubt, it was a Michael J. Fox movie.
Teen
when
Wolf,
in doubt.
When in doubt. And I'm often in doubt about it. Michael J. Fox or Kirk Cameron?
Oh, boy. Let's not talk about Kirk Cameron, hey?
And Scott Bayo?
Scott Bayo.
Charles in Charge.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Charles in Charge of Me and You. And that's what it's about. And we're in charge of playing some cool music. We're in charge about talking rubbish about 80s. And I think, like, you know, so a whole year has passed since we last did the show. And the thing about 80s music is there's never new 80s music.
Well, yeah. I mean, not in the sense of the greatest scheme of the world, but sometimes you'll like find something that you forgot existed, right?
And that's right. So it's like, what songs have we discovered in the last year?
That, while we were locked up in the 80s box.
That they played, you know, on a constant loop. And you're going to give me the first one, okay? I've not heard the song before, okay? I've not heard
really?
About it. I've not.
It's an 80s song that you don't know?
Remember, late 80s, right? I got into it late 80s. I'm not like an into it teen.
Because you're 80s. Young.
I'm younger 80s. Younger. We're 80s, but younger 80s.
Okay, so this song, the band's called Aztec Camera.
Yeah.
They kind of a 1.5 hit wonder.
Cool.
They actually, I suppose they are quite obscure. They were very big in the UK, but probably only in the UK and really nowhere else. I know about them because when I was a young teen in the 80s.
A bopper.
A teeny bopper.
They weren't called tweens. You were a teeny bopper.
Yeah. I used to get a magazine every week at the CNA.
When CNA sold magazines.
Yes, back then.
Now they sell everything.
They sell chocolate now.
Well, chocolates they've always had, but now it's like everything.
They haven't always had chocolate, believe it or not.
Really?
They didn't always have chocolate.
Okay, that's a good time. Okay,
yeah, it used to be books and magazines and newspapers. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, listen, and that's a business model I think they were wise to move away from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I was a teeny bopper back in the 80s, I used to get this magazine every week called Number One Magazine, which was a British pop music magazine, and it was really funny. So it was tabloidy, but like also just trashy, but like in a really cool way.
Yeah.
And Aztec Camera were in that magazine like every week. They were huge in the UK. But everywhere else in the world were like, who? What? And then I remembered about them this year. And this that we're about to play was one of their big hits.
It's called Somewhere in My Heart.
Yeah, it's a very happy, happy song.
And why not be happy? Sounds good. That's happy.
So, what did you think? I mean, it had the sax, it had the jangly bits. What do you think?
Excellent guitar solo in the middle.
Yeah. 80s, but not like very dated 80s, hey? I think they had staying power, but then they didn't because they disappeared.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so like it does have the staples. I mean, it's like the saxophone, and we've spoken, you and I, a lot, because we're sad individuals, about the how key a saxophone was in the 80s. And I think like all the bands like used up their quota of saxes in the 80s, because you don't do a sax anymore.
No.
Not even Kenny G.
Let's not talk about Kenny G.
Why not? You're always like this. It's like, I want to talk about Kenny G.
Okay, fine. Talk about Kenny G. Go. You've got like 30 seconds. Go.
Damn it. You know, I'm done. I never expected you to take me up on it. And I have nothing to say about Kenny G, because you always shut me down. And then the one time you say, okay, cool, talk about Kenny G, and I know nothing about Kenny G. Nothing. You know who I know a lot about?
Who?
Just my favorite man. It's like, do you think it's bad form? It is, though. It is bad radio programming form when you play two songs by the same artist-ish in the first 20 minutes of your show, right?
Well, luckily this is on radio, so we can do what we want, so it's okay.
That is a very good point. So listen, a song that I knew of it. But like I almost like totally fell in love with it this year.
It was sitting in a pocket in the back of your brain, and then during the year that pocket like came open.
Yeah.
And you reached in, and instead of finding some old chewing gum, you found?
I found George Michael, A Different Corner. Like I don't know where the song went. It was been in my brain. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I just this year I discovered it, I found it. I was like going through a couple of old CDs, I was like, why don't I know of the song?
Well, I have very, very, very vivid memories of listening to that on vinyl as a teeny bopper.
Wow.
In the lounge, at home, over and over and over, like I did with all Wham songs, over and over. But that song, it was very different to the other stuff, and it moved me.
It really was. And I mean, so like I imagine, so listen, like you were listening on the lounge, a shag carpet, was there a shag carpet?
Always, it was the 80s.
Or is a shag carpet somewhere? I was doing that in like July this year.
I'm not surprised.
Hey?
No, doesn't surprise me.
I'm probably going to go home and do it later. You know what? I mean, all honesty, I'm probably going to do it now. 80s is always said very cheesy. Just how, listen how rich. The song is rich like molasses. That song is what we call in the business, it's a thigh rubber.
A thigh rubber.
A thigh rubber. Just rubber my thighs when I think about it.
I have a story about thigh rubbing, but that'll come up just now.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That song, yeah, there's that like almost a bing bong Christmas bell sound to it.
Yeah, that's a whammophone.
A what?
A whammophone.
A whammophone. That's not a real word. You're making shit up now.
So, like, listen to enough Wham. And you hear that instrument. It's in Last Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's in so many of their songs. It's a whammophone. They invented an instrument purely for that bing bong. That's in so many of their songs.
It's what makes them unique and special.
Also then used by the Otis Elevator Company to signal that you've arrived on your floor.
Bing bong.
Bing bong. Use a whammophone. That's for real.
So do you want to hear my thigh rubbing story?
Yeah. Listen. We're about to go into Rick Astley, and we came out of George Michael.
Well, that's exactly why I'm going to tell the thigh rubbing story, because it's to do with Rick Astley.
Right.
So, a few years ago, we had there's these concerts called Rewind concerts where they get all these old 80s stars together and they show them off. They like bring them out the box and they go, look, you've forgotten about these people, but they still perform.
They're still alive. And they need some money.
And they do this regularly in the UK. There's only been a couple in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one I went to in South Africa, Rick Astley was there.
Outstanding.
It was an experience. But the biggest experience was he kept like walking to the front of the stage, crouching down slightly, rubbing his thigh and saying suggestive things to all the ladies.
Outstanding. That is outstanding. It's like being hit on by Tintin.
It was very uncomfortable and awkward, actually.
It's sort of like, it's got a bit of a Hugh Grant in Music and Lyrics sort of vibe.
Oh, hey? Just awkward.
I don't have an awkward Rick Astley story.
But you do have a Rick Astley story.
I don't have a Rick Astley story. I got a Rick Astley song.
Okay.
So it's a song that's always around.
Yeah.
But I don't know, this one, again, it just popped out and go, oh, I forgot how much I loved that song. What an awesome song. And he's better known for other song, Never Gonna Give You Up. But I really like Take Me to Heart. It's just really fun and vibey. Got a synthesizer.
Of course.
So many instruments we just don't appreciate anymore. It's almost like a pity that most people
have forgotten that song.
And have forgotten about Rick Astley.
You know, Rick Astley is being remembered in a rather unique way these days. Rick Rolling?
So, like, I heard about Rick Rolling.
Okay.
But, like, I heard about it and I sort of get it, but I don't get it. I don't know what it's all about.
You don't get it?
No, not okay. Really.
Well, one day I'll explain it to you. But in the meantime, just check that link that I sent you. It's a little nice fact about Rick Astley you might want to tell everyone about. That's Rick Rolling. You've been Rick Rolled. Get it?
I feel dirty, though.
Not as dirty as he was on stage.
So explain Rick Rolling to me then.
Okay, so Rick Rolling is when you receive a link on email that looks like it's something else. They're like, someone will say, please check out this document for me. Or, hey, did you see this cool article? And then you click the link and it's Rick Astley singing Never Gonna Give You Up.
It's like Dick Rolling.
You had to make it dirtier?
It's not. Okay, yeah. I didn't get it. Why Rick Astley though? Why of everyone?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it started. He's apparently quite amused by the whole thing. He actually has got a really good sense of humor and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know who. Chances are he started it himself because he was like, hey, no one's talking about me anymore. Mm. I was so big. I was the stock Aitken Waterman Wonder Boy. And now everyone's like, who? So I reckon he started it
so
himself.
So we can expect Milli Vanilli Rolling next year.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk about Milli Vanilli. You know, it's sad.
Do you really not want to talk about Milli Vanilli?
Okay, we can talk about Milli Vanilli. Shall we do it?
Okay, so for people who don't know, Milli Vanilli were a band, the Dutch dudes, right?
I think.
Dutch, Belgian.
Belgian.
Are they
that
Belgian?
Sounds more familiar.
That sounds more like it. And so they were just this like pop, 80s pop sensation. It was like numerous songs. Girl, You Know It's True.
Blame It on the Rain.
And dancing. They were like...
Beautiful, beautiful boys.
Dancers, singers, break dancers, which are dancing.
Yeah.
But break dancing. And like so big, they won a Grammy.
Maybe.
I distinctly remember seeing them with the Grammy.
Okay.
And then Scandal.
Shock, horror.
Plastered all over the Hayskanoot.
The
Hayskanoot. Milli Vanilli, Sungni. I imagine that's what it said.
It's sad. It's sad that it wasn't really them.
Yeah, so then they got bust for like miming pretty much all their songs. And then the band who was miming for them, which was like, actually like Milli Vanilli were two guys, and the band that mimed for them were like lots of people and women and everything. So like there were like 7 or 8 people, 15 of them, numerous Millies and Vanillians, millions of Vanillians. And then they came out with an album and they try to like chart as the real Milli Vanilli.
Oh, and it just...
It sounds like a movie.
It does sound like a movie. Speaking of which...
That door is called a segue.
That's an interesting
segue. That is called a segue.
So did you bring the popcorn?
I did bring the popcorn. Did you bring the movie trailer voice?
And now.
And now.
It's your wildest dream come true.
Wow.
That 80s show at the movies. Yes? No?
Yeah, maybe? It could. No, it won't work. No. So we're saying earlier is that we're going to talk about movies, and I think in this section we're going to talk about movies. And I mean, 80s was just this like sort of perfect amalgamation of like you could not have a hit movie without a hit song. Prior to, well, I mean, James Bond normally used to do it, but then sort of like so many of the big songs from the 80s are linked to really, really big movies.
I think it was all about the angst. There was angst in the songs. There was angst in the movies. The movie had to have the song to bring out the angst. It had to have the guy running in the rain crying, and then the song kicks in.
Also, budgets, I imagine, were stretched because most of the music videos were just like basically the movie. And then every now and again, they'd like cut into the band performing the song.
In some garage somewhere.
In a garage or like in a movie-appropriate sort of stage. But the movies in the 80s were ridiculous, though.
Well, some not of the, all of them.
No, all of them.
Not all of them.
Okay. All of them, though. Mm. Okay. Because some of the plots were like, I mean, you were like.
Plot wasn't a big thing.
Plot wasn't a big thing. I mean, like.
It was not key.
I mean, we're going to play your song, okay? Nothing Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. Now, this was the theme song from a movie called Mannequin.
The Mannequin Challenge.
The Mannequin Challenge. And now in the 80s, the Mannequin Challenge was like, how do I have sex with a mannequin in a store? Because that's what the movie was about.
You make it sound so bad. She became a real person, okay? She turned into a real person.
Lightning.
Something. There was lightning. There's always lightning.
There's always lightning.
There's a storm.
A storm. And a storm struck a store and a mannequin.
Makes a wish and then it happens.
And the mannequin came to life.
Yes.
And it was the chick from Sex and the City. Kim Cattrall, wasn't it?
I'm actually not sure.
I'm pretty sure she was the mannequin.
I'm not sure. But I do know that the guy was Andrew McCarthy. That I know.
That means nothing to me. So anyway, this is the theme song from that movie. The Mannequin Challenge. From the movie Mannequin, this song. For shame, you doubted me.
I told you. I will never doubt you again, ever.
I told you it was Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City.
I don't know why in my mind I saw Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
I often see Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science
that
in my mind.
That scene with a red dress and her long legs.
So that's also like stupid movie plots from the 80s. They Weird Science, they made the girl in the lab.
Something like that. I vaguely remember. Yeah, there was a girl, there was a lab, there was an explosion, there was blue smoke. The usual.
Lightning.
Of course,
had to be lightning. Because lightning caused Mannequin. Lightning was the catalyst in Big, wasn't it?
Yeah, because didn't it make the machine blow up or something?
Because he was at the...
There was some sort of electrical issue.
There was an electrical thing.
Yeah.
Gremlins, did Gremlins have lightning? Gremlins happened on a stormy night.
Yeah.
So the first night he bought Gizmo home. And then Johnny Five... Lightning struck him. Johnny Five is alive. Teen Wolf, lightning. Had to be.
Well, Michael J. Fox, of course.
Back to the Future, lightning. Lightning,
wow.
Hey?
It was a thing.
Lightning was a thing. So that's why I'm like, if there's lightning outside, it's like, oh, don't go run outside. I totally do. Because I'm like, I want to either be big or go to the future, to the past, back to the future. Or I want to be a gremlin.
Or you want to be a girl in a lab?
A girl in a lab. And like a big thing that's happening now is that 80s movies are being remade, but they're like changing, they're like reinventing things. So like
reinventing being code for making it crappy.
Well, I mean, listen, we've not exactly been poster children for watching 80s movies. I mean, we've not exactly painted them the best light yet. But like, I mean, I saw the other day, National Lampoon's A Family Vacation.
Yes, I
right?
remember those.
So they remade that. But Chevy Chase's two kids, okay. Like the son has now grown up and now he's taking his family on the same trip.
Do they never learn?
They don't learn because they didn't Ghostbusters, with the new Ghostbusters, all female Ghostbusters.
I haven't watched it yet. I know it exists, but I haven't watched it
yet. I'm not going to be a hater because there was a big story about that of people hating on them because they're female Ghostbusters. I'm like, Ghostbusters, I don't care. I want to see Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm afraid of ghosts.
And I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
They're not afraid of ghosts.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, I don't care. Ghostbusters are male or female. I don't care. Just busts, ghosts. Ghostbusters, there was also lightning in Ghostbusters.
Of course.
It has to be in the first one. Lightning provoked something. So,
okay. I'll tell you a movie that didn't have lightning or ghosts or weird science. Or
so you say didn't suck.
It's the best movie like ever.
No, I have to give it that. And it was like such a launch pad for like so many big names who became crackheads and are now like not crackheads. It's true. It's true. No suspense story. Name the movie. What's it?
Name it. Okay, this movie is iconic. That is the word to describe it, okay? If you have not yet seen this movie, you have not lived. I cannot wait to show this movie to my child. She is almost old enough.
Pretty in Pink.
No, she's already watched Pretty in Pink.
You said so, right?
Yes.
I took away your moment.
You did.
I couldn't handle
just,
the suspense.
I tell you what, why don't you just play the song and then everyone will know what movie it is. Just play it.
And then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yes.
Because you are a ridiculous fan of this movie. Another good staple of 80s songs. La-la-lying. A lot of la-la-lying. La-la-lying to close off Simple Minds. Don't you forget about me.
Don't you forget about the movies.
So,
and don't you forget about the movie that song is from. This might be my favorite ever soundtrack song from the 80s. And not only because it's a great song, which it is. It's because the movie, The Breakfast Club, it's so special, Paolo. Can I explain to you why it's so special?
Dory, I feel that even if I said no,
that you wouldn't be able to stop me?
I wouldn't be able to stop you. So, Dory, explain away.
Okay. So, the premise of The Breakfast Club is it's these kids that get – a bunch of kids who get detention.
What year are we in?
It's 1985, if I remember correctly. 84 or 85.
Right.
It's high school – bunch of kids, detention on a Saturday morning in the library at the high school. The teacher that's giving them detention really doesn't want to be there. He's a real hot ass. He's like miserable. But the whole point of the story is that all these kids were really, really different. Different backgrounds, different home life, different ways of seeing the world. There was the jock. There was the princess. There was the like the outcast girl, the weirdo. And there was the nerd. Nerds were a big thing in the 80s. Big, big thing.
Huge thing. Now we love a nerd.
Yeah. And they start out and they clearly have nothing in common. And you think, oh, this is going to be such a boring movie. They're sitting there. They don't get along. They don't say anything. I saw something funny the other day that said, if The Breakfast Club had to take place today, everyone would just be on their phones and nothing would happen and there'd be no story.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is so true. But there were no cell phones back in 1985.
Well, there were, but they came in a suitcase.
Yeah.
You had to like...
Or they were attached in your car.
Yeah. In a suitcase.
In a suitcase, yeah, in your car.
Because that's where the massive 3 meter long antenna was.
God, how far we have come. And through the course of the movie, these kids bond together and kind of realize that they're not as different as they might think. Their perceptions of each other change. It's a really deeply moving, inspirational story, Paolo.
Are shenanigans involved?
There are a couple of shenanigans. There are.
They end up in the ceiling at some point?
Yeah, because at one point they've been told not to leave the library.
Right.
And at one point they leave the library and they like kind of run around the school and do weird shit.
That's cool though. I mean, that's the dream. Like you want to be in school when no one's there and just like go around the school. Is that just me?
That might be just you.
Could just be me. Yeah. I do it now, but that's why I've got to stay 500 meters away from most schools. But anyway, so who was the cast? Tell me who was the cast.
So the main cast members that everyone will remember. Molly Ringwald as the princess. The big star today. It's kind of hard to believe because she wasn't exactly your idea of drop dead gorgeous, but she was cast as the popular rich girl kind of thing, who of course thought she was better than all the rest of
them. So So this is why, I mean, and you always give me a hard time because I get them confused. Because you had Molly Ringwald was in Breakfast Club as the popular princess, but yes. Then in Pretty in Pink,
she was the outcast.
She was the total opposite.
Well, she wasn't typecast. And she that's had why range.
That's why I get confused between the two. And okay. I'm always looking.
And she's always wearing pink, so it's easy to get confused.
Exactly. And then I'm always looking for. See, there's so many connections because then her weird looking friend from Pretty in Pink ends up late in his career being Charlie Sheen's brother in 2 and a Half Men, and Charlie Sheen's brother, Emilio Estevez, was in Breakfast Club.
Okay, now you're really confusing me. But yes, it all comes together in the end, basically.
So Emilio Estevez was in Breakfast Club. He was the jock.
He was the jock who everyone was like, oh, well, he's just a jock. He doesn't even have any deep thoughts or anything like that. Turned out that he was actually an incredibly interesting and deep individual.
Yeah, most jocks are. I mean, I was a jock.
we don't want to hear about your sad story, okay?
So why were they in detention? What, does it ever say what they were there for?
You know?
Because that's such a diverse range of people. Why like, were they?
Why were they there? What did they do to get there? They do at some point in the movie, I think, tell the story of what they did to get there. And then there's like the rebellious guy,
yep.
played by Judd Nelson.
Hey?
Judd Nelson did not do much after Breakfast Club. He did some bad sitcoms, a couple of very dodgy movies, and it's sad.
Judd Nelson, like I feel sorry for him because he was never quite part of like the Brat Pack.
He was like just on the outside of the Brat Pack.
Yeah. So if you don't know, the Brat Pack in the 80s was like the hot young actors and actresses.
It was Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez.
Demi Moore was one of them.
Oh, yeah. Rob Lowe. Yeah.
And they were sort of like, okay, these guys, and most of them, they did all become really big actors.
Yeah.
With really big drug problems.
A lot of them.
Mm.
Ali Sheedy did well after Breakfast Club. She's actually my favorite character in the movie.
She's the depressed girl.
Yeah. She's like the goth
girl.
Chick.
Mm.
Who everyone like thinks she's totally weird and she doesn't even speak in the beginning. And then when she does speak, she says the most amazing things.
So Dory, I'm going to try it. I found the trailer.
Okay.
I'm going to try. Let me try this out. Hopefully this works. But let's try this out and see what if we can get an impression. Hopefully it's not just a visuals-only trailer.
It is now 7:06. You have exactly 8 hours and 54 minutes to ponder the error of your ways. Any questions?
Yeah. Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
A brain, a beauty, a jock, a rebel, and a recluse.
I can't believe this is really happening to me.
Before this day is over, they'll break the rules.
Chicks cannot hold a smoke. That's what it is.
Bare their souls.
I'm a nymphomaniac.
Are your parents aware of this?
Take some chances.
Being bad feels pretty good, huh?
And touch each other in a way they never dreamed possible.
Why'd you do that?
Because I knew you wouldn't. Oh.
The Breakfast Club. They only met once.
I don't want to be alone anymore.
You don't have to be.
But it changed their lives forever.
I mean, I consider you guys my friends. I'm not wrong, am I?
Universal Pictures presents Emilio Estevez, Paul Gleason, Anthony Michael Hall, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, and Ali Sheedy in a John Hughes film.
Why do you mean so nice to me? Because you're letting me.
The Breakfast Club.
I'd watch it.
You should watch it.
I have watched it.
Okay.
That makes me want to watch it.
It changed my life forever. I have to say. I mean, you know, it says that it changed their lives forever in the actual movie. It's a life-changing movie.
And then after that movie, they like all went their separate ways and they never hung out again.
They actually had a little bit of a reunion. I think it was last year. It was like some anniversary of the movie.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to remake Breakfast. Like you see it parodied a lot.
If they dare try and remake that movie, I'll kill someone.
Like,
I'll hurt someone.
I'm a big fan of the Goldbergs. They did a Breakfast Club sort of like homage in one of the episodes not so long ago. Yeah, same sort of thing. But the whole cast of the Goldbergs, all the kids, sort of like played a different character. And then they like recreated Breakfast Club.
It's referred to a lot, like in, you know,
like if you had to watch that trailer, you'd see so many scenes that you recognize, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So
what's next?
Okay, so what's next? So listen, yeah, you got a movie that changed your life. Here's a movie that changed my life. No, it didn't really. But I do love it. I do love a little bit of Flashdance. I mean, who doesn't love the story of a metal sheet worker, a welder, becoming a famous dancer?
Who dare not love that?
Me, not. That's not me either. Not me for sure.
I'll be honest. I watched Flashdance once. I'm not really into dance movies, which means I'm not into 80s movies because there's dancing in every single 80s movie. So, no, I lie. Flashdance was okay.
Listen, you know what? I think the soundtrack saved it. I think there's like a lot of very cool songs that came out of it that sort of makes you remember it more than the actual movie.
Why don't you play us one?
What a feeling. Irene Cara. You know how you know you're listening to an 80s show?
How?
Because you just listened to Flashdance. What a feeling.
What a feeling I have. Leg warmers.
It is. That's where it all comes from. The leg warmers. I mean, it's from that movie, that iconic scene they've seen parodied so many times, where someone will sit on a chair and pull the toilet flusher, pull the bucket of water on themselves.
It's so silly because it's like the ice bucket. What the ice?
The ice. It was the original ice bucket challenge.
Ice bucket challenge, but like without, you know, charity
that's
angle.
That's where it started.
But dancing dancing movies.
Jennifer Beale gave a lot of charity in that scene and a lot of charity in that movie because she spent a lot of it when she wasn't wearing a boiler suit. Mm-hmm. She was wearing a leotard. Not complaining.
Okay.
Not complaining. A young me, very confused by that. An older me, thigh rubbing. Okay, so there's a
definite theme of thigh rubbing.
There's
a
definite
show.
Theme. I don't know why the young me would have been confused by Jennifer Beals.
Why not? Why exactly?
Why? Yeah. Whatever.
But dancing, hey, dancing movies. It's a thing.
It is
it's
quite
seriously
a thing.
Listen,
it is quite a thing, and it's probably one of the most preposterous plots of an 80s movie, but with another, again, a great soundtrack. So what happened if you lived in a conservative town where the mayor banned dancing?
Totally plausible.
Hey?
That idea. Totally plausible. I mean, they could have been Amish.
They weren't, though. That's because what happened? So, okay, here's this movie called Footloose. In a town, a bunch of kids go to a party, and then they're driving home from the party, from the dance party, accident.
Yeah.
Town mortified.
Yeah.
Grief, can't deal with it. Mayor bans dancing.
It wasn't even the mayor. It was the pastor.
The pastor.
Who was the father of one of the kids who died.
And everyone just went with it. No, you're right. Not cars. Drinking and driving.
No.
Dancing. Dancing is the culprit.
I'll tell you how I know all this. Because I recently rewatched Footloose. I'm indoctrinating my child with 80s movies. We have done Pretty in Pink.
Good stuff.
Which went well. And then I thought, okay, she's ready for Footloose. There's some she's not ready for. Breakfast Club, she's not ready for. She's too young.
So, I'm more of the like the sci-fi cheesy genre.
Yeah.
So I tried getting my daughter in. She didn't mind Short Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So Short Circuit is a movie about a robot gets built and then gets struck by lightning and comes to life.
I must actually try that with mine because I think she'll enjoy it.
She will enjoy Short Circuit. Gremlins, no.
Mine didn't like Gremlins. Do you not like Gremlins?
So here's the thing. Okay, so my daughter, she's 6 now. So she probably, I first tried to show it to her when she was 5.
Too young.
And you know what? She loved Gizmo, loved
him. No, but like, then it goes crazy halfway through.
But you know what she hates? She says, why are they always so mean to him? Hey?
Yeah.
And they bully him. But like he always comes back, like when he rambos them and drives over them with his car. But she can't stand how mean they are to him.
But here's the thing. With watching these 80s movies, because we've watched a bunch lately, we actually watched Look Who's Talking and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which is a big favorite, actually. Mm-hmm. But as I watch these movies now, I realize how actually politically incorrect they are.
And also PG was totally different.
Wow.
Like, PG-13 was like, I saw a lot of things at 13 that they don't put in movies now.
It's actually, and Footloose particularly, has a scene where this guy literally beats up this girl. Like, he literally punches her in the face and nothing happens. And I'm sitting there saying, in real life, he'd have gone to jail.
Maybe not in this town, though.
Yeah, maybe not this town. This town, like, was weird.
It seems like their rules were different. So, listen, a big dude who, like, I reckon he made most of his songs around soundtracks was Kenny Loggins.
We need to talk about Kenny.
We need to talk about Kenny, but let's first go into Footloose, Kick Off Your Sunday Shoes.
Might be one thing more ridiculous than the plot to Footloose.
What would that be?
That would be what Kenny Loggins is doing now to make a living.
So the singer there?
Yeah, Kenny Loggins.
Big staple of 80s movies. Pretty much any
80s movie, there's a song by Kenny Loggins on it. Like, when in doubt, there's Kenny Loggins' song.
That sounds pretty right.
But then I'm like, okay, so whatever happened to Kenny Loggins? Like, what happened? He was in every single 80s movie and then, poof, he disappears. But he hasn't disappeared. He is doing soundtracks for Winnie the Pooh movies. He is like the voice of the Winnie the Pooh soundtrack.
Singing or like the narrator?
I'm actually not entirely sure. But if you look at what he's doing now, his like discography.
Yeah.
It says Winnie the Pooh.
Listen, man, you got to get in bed with Disney. I mean, you got to be in with Disney. It's Disney.
When the 80s movies Star Wars, drop you.
That's it. Star Wars got in bed with Disney. And this superheroes got in bed with Disney. You know, you got to get in with Disney. If you're not in with Disney, so Kenny Loggins, well done too. You got in with Disney?
Yeah. But before that happened, he did another song from Footloose, which I actually prefer. I think it's the better song on the soundtrack.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. This one's called, listen, I'm not super familiar with it. I mean, it's from the movie. I'm Free, Heaven Helps the Man.
When you hear it, you'll picture that scene in the movie where they all start dancing. And everything like has that happy ending. You'll get.
So this is now at the end of the movie where the pastor says, "You know what? Actually, I was a fool.
Yes,
you guys can dance again.
Yeah,
you can dance if you want to.
Absolutely."
That just makes me feel like inspired.
It's an inspirational song.
I'm just so jacked now.
Jacked, hey?
I'm just so jacked. I just want to
Kenny Loggins,
do
eh?
Stuff.
He had a knack to like fire you up to do stuff. What do you want to do?
He did, hey? He like, I mean, and I suppose that's why they kept like bringing him back and getting him on new soundtracks and.
And Kevin Bacon, the star of Footloose. Looks so good today. I reckon he kept on dancing to those songs all these years. And he's just like stayed footloose and fancy free all these years.
Yeah, or he has got a very good surgeon. A very good plastic surgeon.
I'd like to believe that it's all natural.
No, Dory, it's not. It's not. The sooner you get that and just break that, it's not, Dory. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Okay, so what else did Kenny Loggins do?
So speaking of people who've had way too much plastic surgery from the 80s, Tom Cruise. But Tom Cruise's big breakout movie was...
I don't think he had plastic surgery. It's a Scientology thing. They've given him powers that he can regenerate himself.
Disclaimer on the show, the opinions of Dory are not necessarily the opinions of me. I do not want to get Scientologized, okay? They're going to send thetas into my head. I didn't say that.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't say
I'm brave. I'll stick with it.
You said I didn't say anything. I don't know enough, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm just staying out of it, okay?
So back before Tom Cruise became a Scientologist.
He was just
an actor in 80s movies.
Yep.
What was the biggest movie?
One of the biggest movies, obviously, is Top Gun. So let me tell you a little bit about the plots of Top Gun, and this is all really what happened, okay? Mm-hmm. So there was a cop, okay? And then he got very badly shot. And then they turned him into a robot. They put him in a robot suit. And then while he was in a robot suit, as a like a, almost a robotic cop, like a robocop almost, he found out that his brother had been doing like illegal Muay Thai fights in Thailand. So, and then his brother got killed. So then he went over to Thailand and he trained in some sort of blood sport. Okay. And while he was training in the blood sport, he found out about like in a galaxy far, far away, that he had a twin sister whose planet had just been destroyed. And no, that's not the movie, Dory. Come on. You know it's not.
I was just waiting to see where you were going with this.
No, the movie was Top Gun.
Did he find out that his stepmother was an alien?
Yeah. He could have been. He could have been. But this was just after he had trained himself up from the bottom and became a world champion boxer. And then ran up the steps in Philadelphia.
No, that was Rocky.
That's the whole link is pretty rocky. Top Gun. Now that was a movie with Tom Cruise. Who's Tom Cruise? Was he the Iceman or the Goose?
He was Iceman, right? Goose was the one who died. Who was the other guy, the blonde guy?
Don't ruin it. People haven't seen it.
Oh my goodness! If you haven't seen Top Gun by now, where are you living?
Oh, Dory, you don't know with like Netflix and new streaming services coming online.
Okay, well,
don't worry.
The new version of Top Gun is probably being made as we speak, so it's okay.
With female fighter pilots, and they don't fly airplanes. They like fly drones in Iraq or something like that. So you're probably right. Yeah. The new Top Gun is probably being made right now.
Yeah.
So wait for that. Goose doesn't die. Disclaimer.
Okay.
But once again, say, okay, listen, guys, we got Tom Cruise. Mm. We got fighter jets. We got an awesome scene with like fighter pilots playing volleyball. Okay. But this movie sucks until we get Kenny Loggins. So Tom Cruise phoned Kenny Loggins. Hey, Kenny, listen, I got this movie. It's great. You're really going to love it. It's got flights. We got illegal boxing in Thailand. Brother gets killed. Not that. Okay. But we've got fighter pilots, all these things. But we need a kick ass song. So what does he pull out?
Danger Zone.
He pulls out this. Kenny Loggins with a voice like jet fuel. Val Kilmer was also in Top Gun.
Yeah, but he was like the background guy. Like it was before he became Val Kilmer. The main star.
Yeah.
He was like some dude in the background. Like nobody even remembers him.
I know, but they still like make out like he was quite a big part. But yeah, Val Kilmer was in there. Kenny Loggins. Meg Ryan, wasn't she in it?
She might have been.
I'm pretty sure Meg Ryan was in it as well.
But you know which Kenny Loggins song I really love?
You know, Dory, I got a feeling. Which one are you going to tell me?
It's that song. It's called Far From Over. It was from the sequel to Saturday Night Live.
Dory, you're not the first person to make that mistake because you've just assumed any gravelly voiced male singing in a soundtrack in an 80s movie had to be Kenny Loggins.
Well, and is it not?
99 times out of 100, you are correct. Okay. I know which song you're talking about. It's this one. Take a listen. Just take a listen to this. I'm just going to play you a little beat. Just take a listen.
That's the one.
This is the one, right? Wait till the voice kicks in.
Man, this is the 80s beat. This is the end.
You made your choice. I get it. Now, I mean, going back to talking about dudes who like had too much plastic surgery. We've spoken about Tom Cruise. We've spoken about Kevin Bacon. You know who this is.
It's not Kenny Loggins?
It's not Kenny Loggins. It's Sylvester Stallone's brother, Frank
Don't
Stallone.
Lie.
Frank Stallone.
Frank Stallone sang.
And the movie you're talking about is the sequel to Saturday Night Live. I did the same thing you did.
Did I say Saturday Night Live?
You said Saturday Night Live and stuck in my brain, went deep into my cerebellum. So he produced a sequel to Saturday Night Fever called Staying Alive, which is so confusing because that was the theme song of Saturday Night Fever. But it's now, so the John Travolta character from Saturday Night Fever, he goes to New York to become a dancer.
Of course.
He goes to be a dancer on Broadway. And it's called Staying Alive. And then that is the theme song from it because Sylvester Stallone either produced or directed it. And there's an awesome scene in the beginning of the movie where John Travolta's walking down the street and he bumps into a dude and they're like, looks back at him and Sylvester Stallone. You're like, oh, you're so terrible putting yourself in movies that
you... And then he got his brother to do the soundtrack.
That's
like such a family affair. It's ridiculous.
But it is good though. I mean, if I was like a super Hollywood star and I had a like... You know, a feebling brother. I can say this because I don't have a brother.
But it was a good song, though, so I suppose it's okay.
That is a good song. You can't deny that song. I feel it's like a very underappreciated song.
Well, I learned something today.
You did learn something today. So listen, we've gone on about movies for a long time. We've almost like it's been a never-ending story, okay? And remember that. Remember that movie.
That was such a good movie.
Hey, like, I don't know. What was the name? That big white dog? So Neverending Story was like this fantasy movie. Some kid went to...
It was a dragon. It wasn't a dog.
It was a dragon.
It was like a doggy dragon.
It was a doggy dragon. A dogrin.
A doggy.
There was Rock Eaters.
Yep.
But it was like, again, it was like a kid's movie, but it was like a lot of scary... They didn't have CGI. They did puppetry, like really bad animatronics and puppetry.
And some really depressing scenes. There's a scene where the horse drowns in the quicksand. Do you remember that scene?
And you like had quite an emotional attachment with the horse.
It was harsh, I tell you, harsh.
But going into it, I mean, there's like a, once again, a really cool movie with a really cool soundtrack coming out of it. And talk about one hit wonder, Limahl. It sounds like something you take when you got a like.
He wasn't a one hit wonder as a person, because when he was with Kajagoogoo, they had some hits. Okay, it was a band called Kajagoogoo,
and
he had some hits with them. But as a solo artist, this was pretty much it.
No, but it was a good song.
It probably, you know, sustained him for quite a while financially.
That's a couple of movies to watch out for, right? If you got Breakfast Club, if you got some time and you're binging and you need something to do, Breakfast Club, Top Gun, Neverending Story, Mannequin. What are you going to say about Footloose? Like, give Footloose a miss. Don't watch the new
one. Watch it, but with very low expectations, and definitely don't watch the new
one. Don't watch the remake.
Staying Alive.
Flashdance. Don't watch Staying Alive. You'll hate your life. Rather, if you're going to watch a dance-based movie, watch Flashdance because of the leotards.
The water.
And the water scene. Just for that, okay? And try watch a Neverending Story, but definitely listen to this song.
Wow. Still such a good song.
It is a pretty good song. You got to love it when they still keep, like, when it's a soundtrack from a movie and then they still keep in, like, bits of the movie in the video. You know what I mean? So, like, some actuality is like, oh, no, we made it into the movie. We made it in the soundtrack. I'm Limahl. Look at my hair.
He had cool hair.
He had pretty cool hair. It was like, I mean, how would you describe it? Like, it was like three haircuts. So it was like he had... spiky, a bit of a fringe.
And then he had the dark and then the like platinum blonde, like, to contrast with the dark.
Flock of seagulls type of vibe.
Without the big fluffy fringe.
Mm. Yeah, you could do that.
Okay, Paolo, we've reached that time of the show.
We have though, hey?
It's somber. It's going to be a bit of a somber one, a bit of a sad one. But it has to be done.
No, so you know when you're watching award shows, so you're watching like Grammys or
Oscars
or something, and then they have that part where like, oh, these are our friends who we have lost in the past year. And then they show like, it's a like a 2 minute long thing where they show like random people, like janitor from MGM Studios. And this is the guy who managed the Twitter account for
the person who used to cut up the, you know, used to censor the tape and like cut up those little pieces on the film,
like
on the film strips.
Zsa Gabor's official cocaine dealer. And then they show you see like, and people like clapping politely, and then like the person, you know, comes up like, ah, and then you go back to like, okay, that's like Warren Beatty's fluffer. Okay.
But we're not going to do that here.
No, we're not going to do that.
We're only going to give the big stars.
The big stars, because I think two 80s icons went to the big record store in the sky. And obviously we're talking about Prince.
Yeah.
And we're talking about David Bowie.
Yeah.
And then you want to talk about some other dude, but you have to convince me on that.
I will.
I mean, I won't talk ill of the dead, but you have to convince me of the third guy. So Prince, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, listen, what wasn't said about Prince by people proclaiming, oh, Prince hashtag purple forever? You know, that irritated me when Prince died, because it's like, what do you know about Prince?
Yeah.
Like,
you haven't thought about him for like the last 20 something years.
No.
And now all of a sudden, oh my God, he's gone.
He changed my life. Oh my God, Prince, he's gone. No, he's not gone though. I mean, he's pulled the Michael Jackson. They both went to, you know, they're living in a like little weird man colony.
With Tupac.
With Tupac. And the other guy from Wham. But, Prince did some pretty good stuff. Prince also hated his music being played anywhere without being paid. So he will hate this. Old Princeton. Loved colors, hey?
Yeah, he was big into purple.
Purple rain.
Raspberry.
Raspberry stretch. Red Corvette.
It's all about that.
Hey?
Man, those such good songs. Does make me miss him a bit, I have to say.
Well, I mean, when last did he release something?
But, no, he actually released something recently and it wasn't bad.
No, he did, but there was all those stories about him. Like, people would say, he'd just show up like at a club and like be there and then just put on a gig and just perform. I don't believe that.
No, he doesn't strike me as the easygoing guy, you know, with the whole changing of the name thing. And
what was that all
not
about?
Letting his songs be put anywhere thing.
And didn't he have slave tattooed or was it his facial hair?
I can't remember. I don't think it was a tattoo.
I think he had slave written on his face at one point.
Mm. Well, you know, we don't know. We haven't been a slave to the record companies.
I've not been a prince either. I've not been a symbol. I've been a sex symbol. I voted myself sexiest man of 2016.
In your own home.
And I got a feeling I'll be sexiest man of 2017. I got a pretty good feeling that's going to happen. So, listen.
Yeah.
We're putting together the playlist for the show, and I had a big debate. So, we said, okay, look, 2016 lost Prince. Cool. 2016 lost David Bowie.
Yeah.
Cool. And then you said, oh, Leonard Cohen. But I was like,
You were like, Leonard Cohen, that like, hippie 60s sounding jangle jangle man.
And I was like, it doesn't sound like something I'd say, but I mean, it was along those lines. I was like, Leonard Cohen, I mean.
Like, he's not 80s, man. He's just not 80s. And then
I'm not playing like No Hallelujah on the show.
No. And I wouldn't ask you to because that was from 1960 something.
Yeah, but that's what I thought Leonard Cohen, and that's when I thought he died. Yeah. All due respect.
Well, he did the
And for about 20 minutes, I thought Leonard Cohen was Leonard Nimoy, the original Dr. Spock. So, but that's neither here nor there.
Leonard Cohen actually made one of the most 80s sounding 80s songs that you probably don't know.
No, I didn't know. And then you played it to me and it's like good learning new things. Like I learned about that great movie called Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about that. I learned about The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is quite an 80s sounding song. It's called First We Take Manhattan and then?
Then We Take Berlin.
Wow.
First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
Yeah? Yeah? 80s.
Dory, I feel Rickrolled.
No, this is very different to Rick Astley.
I feel you Rickrolled me because one man talking and then some 80s singing backtrackers does not an 80s song make.
But come on, how synthesizer was that music? The synthesizer, a perfect example of 80s music.
I get it. I can see why a mere mortal like you could be confused by that. But
look, Leonard Cohen's not for everyone.
I don't like those signs in my studio.
Leonard Cohen is not for everyone,
but we have to acknowledge the fact
that he left us this year. This is our in memoriam segment.
I suppose I should be more respectful of Leonard Nimoy.
Hmm.
Yeah, and may the force be with you, Leonard Nimoy.
Moving along.
Yeah, my Twitter is at Dory. okay, so moving along, and we go to David Bowie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bowie.
And this was quite a big one. I mean, he was like from 60s even. David Bowie was like quite influential. That was a big impact as well on like music. For many a generation.
And he had made some new stuff, and it actually wasn't bad. It was very different to his 80s stuff, of course.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad. It was a bit of a shock to the system, I think, when he left us.
It was a bit out of nowhere.
Him and Prince, they were both a bit of a shock to the system. Leonard Cohen, not so much. He was pretty old.
Because Prince was like riding bicycles like the day before.
Oh, hey? I don't know.
He was like riding bicycles around
purple bicycles
around his big Purple Prince Palace. Purple poncho being pickpocketed by Peter Piper. David Bowie left us with a great song called Little China Girl. I feel the world fell in love with Asia in the 80s. There was like quite a big Asian influence in the 80s. Mm. You know, Little China Girl, my earlier reference to Bloodsport, big in Japan.
Mr. Roboto. Yeah.
Feeling Japanese, I already think so. Mm-hmm. A Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
There was definitely like a big 80s love affair with Asia. Mm. And why not?
Now, of course, it would be called cultural appropriation and would just not be acceptable.
No, exactly.
Mm.
And someone would get struck by lightning and turn into a mannequin man-child gremlin. So Dory, it's like, it's been so much fun. We've had a blast. I mean, yeah. It's like, it has time.
The time has come, though.
Time has come.
For the show to end, unfortunately.
But I think we've done some really good things in the show. I think we've,
we flash danced.
We flash danced. Two George Michael songs we spoke. I don't feel we spoke enough about George Michael.
Or Wham. It's been a Wham limited show.
It has been, though.
We'll make up for it next time.
It probably can. I mean, you could probably do like a 2-hour show on Wham, which is, I mean, just called Saturday for me. we've learned about your favorite movie, Breakfast Club.
Yes.
We learned about its sequel, Pretty in Pink. We learned about... Why not? It's the same.
No.
It had Emilio Estevez and Robert...
It had the same director. That's the only similarity. And the cast, some of the cast members.
It had some of the cast members. At Footloose, we spoke... Listen, I feel we spoke a little too much about Footloose.
No, we spoke a little too much about Kenny Loggins.
I know, but like I said, that man had a voice like jet fuel. He had a voice like Jet Fuel.
The soundtrack man of the 80s. We can't ignore that fact.
We can't move away from it. And listen, if you never heard of Frank Stallone before, which you hadn't.
Yeah, that was something I learned today. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'm so going to go home and listen to that song on repeat.
It's like that thing. It's like finding stars of the 80s in their lesser known siblings. Hey, I think there's definitely something like George Michael's unknown brother.
Oh, can you imagine?
It has to be.
These people who live in the shadows of their older siblings.
Bross's brother?
The third one, you mean?
It could be. Or Bross's sister. Sis? Did they make a band? Sis? Bross's sisters? Sis? Bross? Hey?
Terrible.
They could have?
Terrible.
Eurasia? Eurasia's brothers, the Pet Shop Boys?
Eurasia.
Hmm?
Erasure.
Oh, there was an erasure error on my part.
Yes.
Okay. And then we ended off saying goodbye to Prince and Leonard Cohen.
We're still saying goodbye to David Bowie.
Very farewell to Leonard Cohen, if you're me.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Bowie, we had Little China Girl there. And listen, I think it's like, I don't know when you're listening to this. Maybe you're listening to it on at your Christmas party. And maybe your Christmas lunch is downplayed or very chilled. Or maybe it's raucous, you know? And maybe you do need something to get up to. You know, David Bowie's song, Let's Dance.
Yeah.
It's not super dancey. How do you dance to that?
In like a restrained 80s style.
It did.
Like
every now and again.
White people dancing.
Yeah, you could like swing your hands and do the click thing.
Yeah.
But it is very restrained.
No, but it's a goodie. It's a goodie. And, you know, keep that spirit alive going into 2017. Just dance, man.
Yeah, just party like it's 1987. CliffCentral.com